from the Carter Subaru Studios, this is the G and Ursula Show with G Scott and Ursula Wojtyn.
Good morning, happy Wednesday, and thank you for listening to the G and Ursula Show. Good morning, Brother Mace.
Good morning, G.
I'm great, man. That is the voice of Aaron Mason, my former co-host on Cairo Nights. He's filling in for Ursula. Mm-hmm. Don't you guys worry. Ursula's out for the rest of the week. Brother Mace will be in with us all week long. And yes, Chef is here for sure. Don't you worry about that. Mm-hmm. Got a lot to discuss, so let's do it right now. Let's get to three things that you should know.
Number one.
King County is ending the mask mandate. Wow. Why I couldn't say that the right way, I don't know. But anyways, King County is ending the mask mandate on June 30th. This comes as the county has hit a 70% vaccination rate and the U.S. approaches 600,000 deaths from this disease. That's unfortunate. Mm-hmm. So here's a question. At what point will you consider COVID over?
Is that a question for me? Because goodness,
that's a question for you. Question for Chef. Yeah. Question for our listeners. At what point do you consider COVID over? Or maybe you're saying, "Gee, I don't consider it over." Talk to me.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think it's ever going to be over and not an issue anymore. I think we're going to learn how to live with it like we do with a lot of other illnesses. I think we're going to, you know, hopefully get our hands around this, get people vaccinated, sort of stamp it out, and then just do kind of maintenance like we do with a lot of other diseases. That outside of that, as far as the immediate future, like when are things going to be all open again, and when can I go out, when can I hug people and no masks and this and that, I just think that's, for me personally, I'm getting there. You know, it's I don't want to jump into the deep end in case it's a really, really cold pool. But I'm gonna walk my way in and kind of say hi to everybody as I go.
Brother, hey, Chef, what you got, man?
You know, I thought it, for me, it was going to be the masks coming off, because I've hit a point since I've been vaccinated where I'm just like, I'm done with this.
I'm kind of over it for the first time.
I'm done with it.
Yeah.
But like, for me, I've realized it's once my son and then eventually my daughter get vaccinated, because it's still a lot up in the air with them. And there's, you know, the kids are still going to have to keep them on at school. Mm-hmm. I think there's a lot of parents who are going to struggle enforcing that sort of thing with their kids. Like, I'm sorry, you're not vaccinated. You have to wear it. Even though mommy and daddy and everyone that you see who's, you know, older than you is not. So I think it's going to be kind of a conflict point for people with kids right now.
Chef makes a very good point and segues into the next part of this discussion is this. And for you that are parents or you are guardians of younger kids, maybe 12 and under, if there's one thing to consider about this mask mandate being lifted and whether or not you want to wear the mask or not, is this. If you have kids, does the mask mandate ending bother you? Since, of course, we all know kids 12 and under, they really can't get vaccinated. So I'm going to throw back to you, Chef, as someone who has kids, two kids, if you will, two wonderful kids under the ages of 12. What are your thoughts about, hey, your kids can't get vaccinated and the mask mandate is going to be over?
Doesn't bother me at all, because I don't assume that because the mask mandate is ending, that puts my kids at more risk necessarily. We can still make choices as a family as to what kind of activities we're participating in, mm-hmm. and where we take them and what kind of exposure. But I don't know if everyone has the same kind of approach. I was actually recently told by someone close to our family who wanted to take our son out somewhere. Well, you know, they're probably just going to get it at some point, and you know, you should just realize that, which I kind of rejected. You know, but I think a lot of parents, you know, they're going to be taking their kids out. It's up to every family what they want to do.
Yeah.
But it just worries me a little bit knowing that there could be some issues for kids that you really can't anticipate, even if they're not at severe risk of, you know, long-term illness or injury or death.
And we don't know yet. We don't know anything about long-term yet. I mean, we have to figure out as as time passes.
Which, that's another reason for us discussing this. There is a new study of the insurance records of 2 million people in the United States who have had COVID. They found that one more or more after getting COVID, 23% needed medical treatment for a condition that they've never experienced before. And the people affected were of all ages. That includes kids. And those issues showed up in 27% of people who had mild or moderate symptoms and 19% of people who showed no COVID symptoms at all. The most common post-COVID symptoms were most common new health, nerve and muscle pain, breathing difficulties, high cholesterol, fatigue, high blood pressure, heart abnormalities, sleep disorders, mental health conditions like anxiety and depression. So, Mace,
yeah,
this next part of it, when you start hearing about the fact of, I mean, we've heard of long haulers. We've had Tammy Edwards on our show talking about that. We've had people, known of people with COVID who've had some other issues. What are your thoughts on hearing these things that 23% needed medical treatment for a condition that they didn't even have before COVID?
I mean, I have all but three of what you mentioned, and I don't know about cholesterol and blood pressure. I got COVID, no fault of my own. I want to make clear, but I did contract it, and it was I had already had my first shot of two, and I had a bad flu for a couple days, and that was the extent of it, thankfully. But after in the weeks that have passed since, there are things that are different. My breathing is different. I seem to be more fatigued and my body more tired, I would say. I have pretty bad anxiety right now anyway, but it is the most concerning thing to me. And when I contracted COVID, that was my first reaction, is we don't know. We don't know what happens long term with this stuff. And it worries me. It worries me.
Yeah, it definitely worries me as someone who I had COVID, and I would say that I think that I had a mild version of it, considering that I didn't take a day off. I worked the entire time, except for some congestion, and I apologize to those. As a matter of fact, you know what? Now that I'm bringing up the congestion part, let me go ahead and just share with you guys something. And this is, I haven't shared what I'm going to share with anybody else, and this is the truth.
Exclusive.
Since I've had COVID, no lie, have you guys, if you've been listening, have you ever sometimes noticed, like, you might hear me go to clear my throat, and I do it so often. Sometimes I'll be talking, I'll hit the mute button just hit the mute button, and I'll clear my throat.
Mm-hmm.
Ever since I've had COVID, it has gotten so much worse. So I'm not saying it was because of COVID. I'm just letting you guys know what I deal with on a daily basis that I've never shared with anybody.
My like stomach, intestines, my gutty works. I know that is on the list of post-COVID symptoms. Have not been the same since then. I've had a month of like not really liking eating food. It's been terrible. It's been terrible. Yeah.
All right. Let's get to number two.
Number two.
Now, you could be getting an email from your employer soon asking you if you want to opt in to a brand new tax. It's a new payroll tax to fund your long-term care. And starting in January of 2022, you'll pay $5.80 per $100,000 of income to fund it. However, this is a first. You can opt out if you want to. Just hit that button, dink, you can opt out. The long-term care tax would pay out a maximum of just over $37,000. If you do opt out, you'll have to pay for long-term care insurance on your own and provide proof of that by November 1st. Mace, I don't want to ask you if you would opt in or opt out. I want to ask you, what do you think about this whole thing when it comes to long-term care?
Well, we have to do something. I mean, the way our culture, on the whole, obviously this is not the case for everyone, but the way our culture treats the elderly is disgraceful, honestly. You know, grandma, grandpa, we put them in a home, and that's the end of it. Now, I understand there are circumstances where someone needs, like, some intense medical treatment, and maybe your family can't handle that. So that's where you have a safety net. This is the idea. This is a good thing that government is supposed to do, is to sort of help people when they need it. And in this case, putting some money aside. I don't know what I'm going to do. I have no family within 3,000 miles of me right now. I don't have kids. What's going to happen to me when I get old? Who's going to take care of me? I have absolutely no idea. And if you look at the demographics of this country, the older people are living longer, and there are more and more of them. And then there are fewer and fewer people, younger people in the workforce contributing to these pools. So it's a little late, but I'm glad. It's like they say with trees: the best time to plant a tree was 20 years ago. The second best time is today.
Chef, what you got, bro?
I think we absolutely need this. However, I would caution people about what this long-term care insurance is. Like you said, the max payout is like $37,000.
That's nothing, right?
So this is like dental insurance, right? Where you're paying into a plan basically that will cover the bare minimum and would basically be the equivalent to what if you invested that money on your own over time. Mm. So I would view this as a supplemental insurance. Because 37 grand, that's like 2 months, 3 months in some of these long-term care facilities.
Yeah.
That being said, I'm happy that this is one of these opt-out systems where you have to say, I don't want to be a part of this. Because people naturally will not plan. They will not save. And I'm not going to be a scold or a wag and say, you know what? Because you're old and you refuse to prepare and you didn't check the box, we can't help you as a society. I want there to be something there for those people. And honestly, it's not a lot of money per paycheck to make that happen.
I'm always disappointed. I'm always disappointed in how we look at our elderly here in the United States. For an example, I believe that if you hit the 65 mark, hear me out. If you hit 65, it should be a celebration. Do you know what you got to go through in this life to get to 65? It is not easy to get to 65. That's number one. Mm-hmm. Number two, when you get to 65, I believe that those that are 65 and over in the United States of America, you shouldn't have to work anymore. No, you should not have to work. If you want to work and you want to go and be a greeter at Walmart and some of these grocery stores and all that kind of stuff because you just like being around people, that's great.
Yeah.
But you should not have to work. Hey, look, you have made it to 65. You put your time in. We should celebrate those 65 and over. Now, as far as this is concerned, Chef, I'm glad you hit it that way. $37,000? People are living longer. Long-term care is massively expensive. Those that are listening right now, probably, maybe you know, maybe you're helping fund this or whatever for your loved ones, or maybe you're funding it for yourself. It is massively expensive. And especially for women, because we all know that women tend to live longer than men. Now, this state budget, the analysts say that the state won't be able to afford the predicted need for long-term care. So this new tax is to help, but this is just the beginning. And I feel like this new tax should not just be the beginning of this, quote, $37,000. It needs to be the beginning of how we really address and talk about people that are 65 and older in our country. We should be celebrating them. We shouldn't be. I feel like a lot of times, and I hate to get on my soapbox about this, but this is something that has really has bothered me for years. And it bothered me from the first time that I saw my grandfather down in Oklahoma in a long-term care facility. In this facility in Oklahoma, it had no air conditioner. None.
That's crazy.
It had no air conditioner. And to this day, I can still smell the smell that I smelled that day.
Yeah.
I can still remember. I can visualize the hallway. Yeah. I can visualize people sitting down. And all I'm saying is man, sometimes people just want to be home.
Yeah.
But they can't be home because none of their loved ones can stay there and help them. So why shouldn't there be some money? And I feel like the way that we do things in this country, the feeling that I feel that those 65 and over, I feel like they get is like, oh, you still here?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, dude, I'm 40 and I'm starting to get a whiff of it. Come, you know what I mean? I'm out of the like main demographic. I'm not 18 to 37 anymore. Nobody cares what I think about anything. And then that's what our society does. We don't value. That's why I started the way I did. We don't value older people. We just don't. If you look around the world, different cultures in different places, many of them, it is a celebration, like you were saying, G, to be old. You are put in a place of honor and respected and treated well and taken care of because you have put in the work, you've made it, and you should be, you know, you should be able to sort of let up and enjoy your final decades.
Here's one little thing, and I don't know why I've been doing this today, Chef, but I've been finding things that I don't like in a story. And for all the positive, and I think the number one positive thing about this tax is hopefully this will get us talking about it more plans on how we can better assist those that are elderly or 65 and over, or just those that to have better long-term health, long-term care, because it is so expensive to do those things. Now, but the one thing that really stood out to me is this. This is a state deal. So if you're paying into this tax and you're doing all of these things, what happens if you want to move?
Mm.
Does it follow you?
Yeah, that's interesting.
And I think you know the answer to that question. And so this is why this needs to become, and people are like, well, you want Social Security. Social Security is not enough to pay for long-term care.
No.
Come on now, everybody.
Barely enough to pay rent in a lot of places.
Right? Yeah. You know where you got to go live sometimes if you're only depending on Social Security. So these are some of the things that needs to be talked about. And I, you know what I hope going in the future, too? I hope that we can start coming together and start really talking about things like this rather than whether or not you should wear a mask or not.
Yeah.
That would be great.
Oh, I would love it.
One day.
I believe.
All right. This next topic right here, I might lose friendships.
Yeah.
Here's the question. Are you the cool parent? We'll tell you about a couple cool teachers who are facing criminal charges. We'll explain that next. It's G and Ursula. Brother Mace hangs out with us. It is the G and Ursula Show. Brother Mace is filling in for Ursula. And that last segment that we just discussed, the long-term care for the future, if you missed that, I really encourage you at the end of the show to listen to the podcast because that topic really hit me. Mm. And it hit me because it's a real topic, and we do need to do a better job of addressing our elderly here in this country. And it's something that we need to talk about more and more. And I am really committed to continuing that conversation here on the G and Ursula Show. Now, we turn to Toppenish, where an assistant principal and a teacher are under criminal investigation for supplying drugs and alcohol to students. That's crazy, right?
Mm-hmm.
And completely, of course, irresponsible. We all know teachers shouldn't give booze or drugs to kids, right? Okay, we're all on the same page. No,
yeah.
Teachers should not. Okay, got it. But here's why we're bringing this up. High school kids around the state are getting ready to graduate. And for a lot of those kids, that means party time. Mm-hmm. Don't act like you don't know. You've seen this done. Now, here's the part and here's the rub. Because we all know the, quote, cool parents that will let their kids drink and party at their house. If you don't know any of those parents, then you're probably one of the cool parents. The cool parents. Is that really any different? That is the question. A lot of those parents will argue, well, it's better to have the kids doing it under my roof where I know they'll be safe than doing it somewhere else. Mace,
yeah.
I want you to weigh in on the, quote, cool parents conversation, because right now it is now graduation time. What you got?
Well, I'm going to split this into two different categories of cool parent.
Okay. Come on.
I think there are there's a, I'll use the word responsible way to do this, and I think there is an irresponsible way to do this. Sort of the idea that a parent. The parent just doesn't want to get involved. The kid can do whatever they want, gets a hold of whatever they want. Friends come over, everybody just gets blackout drunk. That's a bad situation, right?
Okay.
But for me, and again, I'm not a parent. But I think it's an issue of risk mitigation. I think the idea that, look, kids are going to do this kind of thing, right? That's why they're kids. Their brains are developed in such a way that they're still taking these risky activities. That they could go off somewhere. They could go to the woods or parking lot or wherever it is that you do it in your town, and get loaded and then drive around somewhere and potentially kill some people. The idea that saying that, like, okay, I know these kids are going to do this. Let's have them do it here. I can monitor them. If anyone goes overboard and gets alcohol poisoning or you know, it turns into a really bad situation, at least I am there to sort of take care of that situation.
Nothing makes my skin crawl more than the cool parent. Nothing makes me as mad as the parents in those communities that allow kids to come to their house and drink and smoke. This whole excuse of, well, at least I can monitor. Time out. Most of the time, the parents that say, at least I can monitor, you're drinking too.
Mm.
So let me get this straight. The kids in your house are drinking.
All right.
You're drinking. Who's the adult?
Right.
Now, well, gee, they're going to probably do it anyways. I'm not dumb. I'm not saying that they don't happen. But why do you have to be the one that supplies it? I'll never understand that. It bothers me so much because, well, let me ask you this. Is drunk driving a problem in our country?
Sure.
Is alcohol a problem in our country?
Yeah.
The abuse of it.
Yeah.
So I really don't get how can you be a parent and allow somebody else's kids? Now, I'm not judging you for saying, hey, I'll let my son or daughter have a sip of wine at the table,
right,
or I'll let my son or daughter drink at the house. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the parents that facilitate an environment in which other people's kids come and drink. And so it makes my skin crawl.
I mean, look, I don't entirely disagree with you, and I don't mean to defend these parents. I'm not saying, I would argue that probably the majority of parents who are involved in this kind of activity are probably not being responsible. But that doesn't mean that there isn't a responsible way to do it, or that some parents aren't responsible at all. But you compared it to some. Your comparison really reminded me of the idea that when people don't like giving out condoms in high schools, right? They say that it encourages people to have sex, and the idea that having this alcohol available encourages kids to drink. I just don't necessarily agree with that 100%. But they those it reminded me of each other, those two topics.
Let me touch on something. Who's a new parent? Let me touch on something with someone who's a new parent. Chef, your thoughts on cool parents, and are you going to be a cool parent when Matthew and Alice are of age? Talk to me.
Here's what I don't want to do. I don't want to stigmatize alcohol to the point where they feel it's a behavior that they need to hide. That's been pretty conclusively linked to binge drinking in kids. So I don't think I'm going to have any issue like letting them try some, letting them taste one. You know, if you're 18 or 17, hey, you know, if you want to have a beer at the barbecue, that's cool. Here's where I draw the line. I can't be the cool parent for anyone else's kids.
It's a big line.
And you can't be the cool parent for mine, because while you might be comfortable with what's going on in your house and you think you know what's going on, I do not.
Right.
And I do not trust that environment that they're in. Now, can I prevent my kids from partying? Probably not.
Nope.
It's impossible. But the thought of another parent making that kind of environment or decision for my own kids, or me doing that to someone else's family, I find that pretty repulsive.
Brother Mace, I do want to strike from the record your comparison of even bringing up the condoms conversation.
What?
Why is that? I didn't like the condoms
really
and the alcohol.
Because people's argument against it is that you're encouraging bad behavior. But when you look at the data, having those things available reduce pregnancies and STDs. Well, pregnancies. Condoms don't really help against STDs. But.
Yeah. One of the 425 just texted in and reminded me of something, and this is true. Parents, you know, your kids got enough friends. They really do. They need you to be their parents and not their friends, right? Like, I think that's another thing that ends up happening is, no, I do think it's important that, like, yes, relationships with kids are great, but like you guys said here, like Chef just said, you don't need to be friends with everybody in the neighborhood, and plus there's some liability that can potentially come from that as well. Someone drinking at your house goes out and does something, and then they wreck it, hit somebody in a car, and then all of a sudden you lose your house. Why? Hey, Mildred, why'd you lose your house? Well, I was a cool parent and allowed kids to come over and drink. Yeah. And I even tell my kids today, I'm like, you guys think I was a cool parent, right? They says, well, coming up next in scenarios, I'm period point blank. Let me ask you this. Don't answer, but I'm going to ask. If you go to a garage sale and you buy something, are all sales final? We'll discuss that next in scenarios. Brother Mace fills in for Ursula. Good morning, y'all. It is the G and Ursula Show. Ursula's out today. Brother Aaron Mason is hanging out with us.
Yellow.
Coming up at 11:06, it will be time for Agree to Disagree. And one of those questions is this. Should teens' social media posts disappear as they come of age? We'll discuss that in Agree to Disagree. But right now, it is time for Scenarios, brought to you by Farrah.com.
Here we go, yo. Here we go, yo.
Should there be a return policy for something you buy at a garage sale? Because I say that there should. I bought an old coffee maker last weekend. It is in good shape and works just fine. And I only paid $5 for it. But I got it home and I just don't like it. I don't know what I was thinking or why I thought this was a thing I needed to buy, but I did buy it. So I want to take it back. And so I did. I went back to the house that had the sale and I asked them to take it back. They looked at me like I was nuts. I said, look, I just want to return it. If I bought it at a store, I'd just take it back. The guy closed the door in my face. I just want a refund. There was nothing posted that all sales are final. Don't you think I'm right? I know it's only $5, but now it's just that I shouldn't be stuck with something I don't want. And no, my name is... No, I'm not even going to say what they said. But anyways, they said their name's not Karen, is what they said at the end of the letter. 98973 is the state roofing text line for you to weigh in. Mace, you're up to bat first, sir.
Dear Karen,
You are that. This is the craziest thing I've ever heard. Absolutely not. You bought something at a garage sale. You bought that. There's no return policy. It is implied as is. You spent $5 on a coffee machine that worked. That you just decided you didn't like it. You know when you should have decided you didn't like it was when before you bought it at the garage sale. I don't think there should be return policies in stores if nothing is broken. You know, if the thing works and you bought it, tough cookies if you don't like it.
Okay, good and simple. Chef, what you got?
Of course you can't return it. Everyone knows that, including you that's writing this letter.
Yes!
You're already embarrassed and ashamed of yourself. You had to crawl up to the front porch with your tail between your legs. I don't understand how $5 could motivate you to do that.
I don't either.
Here's my question, though, because I'm not throwing that thing out if it works, and nobody I know is going to want a used $5 garage sale coffee maker. Leave it on the street.
Yeah.
Leave it on the street. The recycling economy or the reuse economy is very, very strong in this region. So I do not see any problem whatsoever with leaving anything on the street so long as it's functional and not just total garbage.
You want to know why this person knows deep down that they shouldn't have taken it back?
Hmm.
Because of how they ended the letter by saying, "And no, my name is not Karen."
Right.
The fact that you said that, you yourself said that, that means you know that you shouldn't be going to take that back.
This is crazy now, behavior.
This is absolutely. And I always thought that when you show up, you don't need a sign at a garage sale. You know the deal.
Of course.
All sales are final. Hence the reason why it's a garage sale.
As is.
Nobody. I'm not saying it's garbage, but nobody wants their garbage back. And garage sales are people getting rid of their garbage because one person's trash can be another person's treasure.
Holla.
And by the way, I love garage sales. Absolutely love garage sales.
Dude.
I love going to certain neighborhoods for garage sales. Because for some reason, I'd be looking at y'all like, wait, you don't want this no
more? Dude.
Oh, no. Oh, okay.
Are you kidding me? Back in the day, I would go to Mercer Island. I bought the nicest stereo speakers for like $20. It was crazy.
The same neighborhoods that you go to for the good trick-or-treating?
Yeah.
This is where you go for the garage
We're
sales
talking,
and where you go to the thrift stores.
Candy bars.
Man.
Absolutely. Couldn't agree more.
Matter of fact, we doing that again this summer. I mean, you know, mask mandates being lifted. Governor Jay Inslee opened up the place June 30th. What's the deal, y'all? You having some garage sales? Let's do it.
I can't wait. Are you kidding me? I just got a car. I haven't had a car in like six years.
Wait, yeah. You have a car, Mace?
Yeah, dude, just bought one. How about them apples?
Bro. And
you know what I'm going to do?
What?
Go straight to garage sales like as soon as they happen. I can't wait.
Let me ask you this. Now that you have a car now, and by the way, I've been talking to Mace for years, like, dude, you need a car. But anyways, now that you have a car,
finally sunk in.
Are you ever going to be without one again?
Probably not. No. I can't.
Such a climate
I would have said that before, but like, you know. Yeah, I did miss it, though. I've only had it for a couple days, and boy, did I miss it.
All right, 11:06, go get your coffee, go get your sips of tea, whatever you're going to be. Listen to these, to this break. But we got to get into agree to disagree, and one of those is this. Should teens' social media post be wiped away clean when they become an adult? We discuss that next. It's Gene Ursula.